Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I am so glad you decided to join me again today. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is an entrepreneur on his path to success. I met him recently on Facebook. His name just kept popping up in my feed, and it seemed like he was constantly creating new products. I have to admit, he caught my attention. He's been a graphic designer and a creative director for print and web since 1995, working in publishing, marketing, and advertising. But now he's moved into the world of passive income, which, as you know, is my very favorite. From freelance graphic design work to making over $5,000 this past September through 100% passive income. Today's guest has been where a lot of you are right now. In fact, he was probably there very, very recently, but he's taken some key steps to change it. Now, let's hack Rob Cubbin. I want to thank today's awesome sponsor, FreshBooks, not only for sponsoring Hack the Entrepreneur, but also for personally helping me fix one of my biggest problems. I am absolutely terrible at staying on top of my bookkeeping and accounting for my business. Now, rather than losing receipts and handing my accountant a giant box of papers at the end of the year, FreshBooks has an amazing app for my phone that lets me instantly take pictures of my receipts and sort them with the touch of a single button. FreshBooks is designed for small business owners and is the number one cloud accounting solution that helps millions of entrepreneurs and small business owners to save time and get paid faster. FreshBooks integrates directly with three things that I use every day in my business: PayPal, Stripe, and MailChimp. To start your 30-day free trial today, go to freshbooks.com/hack. And don't forget to enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. All right, welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I am really excited about today's conversation. I have a good friend on the show, and he's visiting us all the way from Chiang Mai, Thailand. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Johnny. Lovely to be here. Thanks for having me on.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Rob, let's jump right into this. You are a freelancer, but let's talk about the entrepreneur passive income side of Rob. So as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
The one thing that I do that's been the best contributor to my success so far is definitely the fact that I am a terrible perfectionist. So I'm just not a perfectionist. I mean, I am very happy to get substandard work out there, which sounds terrible, but I know it's the best thing about me because some people designers mostly, because that's funny because I am come from a design background. That's what I was when I was a freelancer. Designers particularly are terrible perfectionists. And of course, there is a place for perfectionism in our work. Of course, it exists. But the best thing to do when you're creating products and you're putting stuff out there and you're creating content is not, especially in the digital world, which we all live in, and well, that's where I work, is just not to be perfect when you put the thing out there, when you put the product out there. Don't make it perfect, because it's a digital product, you can always change it. And anyway, the best thing to do is just to get things done and then move on to the next one, because if you're an entrepreneur, you have to learn on the job. So you're only going to learn quickly if you put things out there quickly. So yeah, perfectionism sucks.
Well said. So when you say that, I mean, you put out a digital product and you can make it better later, do you typically do that? Like, would you put out, say, a new course with the idea that, okay, I just have to launch it, get it out there so I'm not held up, and then over the next month or so, we would sort of iteratively, like, make parts of it better?
No. It's
even better.
Yeah, no, what I mean is, if there's some terrible factual, something that is terribly factually incorrect, that I'll go back and change it. And if the subject matter of the course changes for some reason, Google takes out, brings out a new law or rule or something changes like that, then I'll change it. But it's for emergencies only. So yeah, that's just to calm your nerves. You know, you can always change it. So don't worry about getting something wrong. But in actual fact, I usually get it pretty right first time and I don't change them. I go on to the next one.
Excellent. Tell yourself the lie that's necessary to launch the product.
Yes. Just, like just put it out there. Yeah.
Right. Which, I mean, if you're in information products, then which you are, then that can work. Obviously, I come from software. With software, you do have to put out a beta or you have to put out a version 1.0. That's the start. But you typically don't leave it at that point because that's not your end vision for the product and that's not what customers are buying or want. You do have to sort of iteratively go to version 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. It happens with all software. I guess that is the distinction, I guess, that I wanted to make. So you've had an interesting journey, Rob. You worked in the corporate world, right? And then you went to freelancing, which is a natural progression of a lot of people. But then once they get into freelancing, they tend to confuse that with entrepreneurship, which it absolutely isn't, because you're just getting paid for exactly for your work. You've basically created yourself a job without, well, you still have bosses because they're your clients. But you then have worked to make the transformation the next step, which is from freelancing to total passive income and entrepreneurship. Can you tell me how, or if when you originally quit and went from corporate to freelancing, did you think immediately, okay, this is just a stepping stone to absolute entrepreneurship and passive income? Or was it like a frustration process throughout freelancing?
Well, I've got to go back so far in years to answer that, Johnny, because if I wasn't a corporate, it would have been just, this is just going to sound dreadful. It was about 23 years ago because I had a job in about 1990, I think, 91. And it was too much for me and I gave up. And then I picked up freelance and temporary work. And of course, I wasn't skilled at that point or wasn't particularly skilled. In fact, the internet wasn't really around. And so I kind of, then I just went on a sort of 10-year period of my life where I was just working, yeah, as you rightly say, just working for bosses and swapping hours for dollars, just like everyone else out there in the rat race. I was going on the tube in London, the underground trains in London, every morning to some horrible office, sitting there for 8 hours a day and earning money that I thought I had to. And I didn't know any different. I had no sort of hopes or dreams of changing anything. And that just went on and on and on for a number of years, Johnny. So I wasn't really ever in corporate. I was only ever in freelance. But I like to sort of labor the point about how bad things were, because they were truly dreadful for me in that, I mean, I wasn't happy. I mean, that was down to a lot of other factors. But I mean, my professional life was one that I just had to endure. I just thought, you know, I just got to do this because I need the money to pay the bills, blah, blah, blah. Everyone else does it. There is no alternative. And that was for quite a long time. I've labored that point. I'll go on now. And so 2005, 2006, I set up a website called robcoven.com, funnily enough. And then I blogged and I started to get calls from people saying, can you do this job for me? I just need someone who can do this. And 2005, 2006, we're starting to get broadband speeds at home. And so I was able to work for at home instead of working in those offices. And I thought that was great at the time. And even just that was good for me. I was absolutely, because the work was better, I was getting better paid. It was more entrepreneurial in that I set up a business. I had a company. But, you know, that was the turning point for me, because even though I was still swapping hours for money, I didn't really have a boss, because these are my clients and they were all very high quality, large organizations that I ended up working with. And I was supplying work for them and nobody was telling me what to do. I could outsource it if I want. So it was much more entrepreneurial. And so it was the blog, the site and the blog, and improving that and getting traffic and working for clients 2006 to 2008 that really changed things for me. And the passive income products came later on the back of that.
I love when these stories go back. It's like you said to like the 90s, which there was no internet really. And it's amazing to me to think of, because I forget about that. I mean, I grew up in then too, like I went to high school and there wasn't really, there was kind of an internet at that point, but I mean, it wasn't like it was. And I think a lot of people listening probably don't even understand that concept, that it's changed so much.
Yeah.
But 2005, 2006, you started blogging.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. You're still blogging at robcubbin.com.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's where your first work came from. If everything was what it was today, and you knew everything that you know today, when you made that first transformation and getting the freelance work, what would you do differently if you could just start over right now with robcubbin.com and your business?
I wouldn't do much differently, to be honest with you, Johnny. I just the things that everyone always says, you know, I'd start my email list earlier. Everything that worked for me, I'd start it earlier, but that's kind of cheating, isn't it? That's crystal ball type stuff.
Right. But would you start, say, the passive income sooner?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Would you go straight to that, or would you focus more on, okay, I got to build up a client base and more freelance work to pay the bills? Or would you just be like, no, I'm going to create a course on Udemy and I'm going to sell it by 2 weeks from now because I know how much money I can make at that?
Yeah. Every stage of the journey, I would have done earlier. Because that's the way it always is. However, it all followed a fairly logical progression in that I was blogging and that taught me how to write. And so I became a better writer and I did YouTube and that became better on the video editing. So in another way, you know, I wouldn't have done things too differently. However, I would have speeded up every step of the way. And I think that's, you know, you look at somebody like Richard Branson. And, you know, how much did he know about jet travel when he started Virgin Airways? You know, probably very little, and he probably knew nothing about the business. But I was reading something the other day that said entrepreneurs are people who step into things and start things just before everyone else does. So everyone else tries to be an expert and then starts things. So, you know, the way to do it is just to start things before you know how to do it. You know, so yeah, I'd have just started everything earlier, which is not a great answer to your question.
No, it is. It's a great answer. And I love how you said that entrepreneurs are people who start things before they're experts. And I think there's no way to become an expert at something until you do it. It's the whole cart before the horse, right? It's like, oh, I'm not good enough at, like, you teach WordPress development and stuff. Like, I'm not good enough at that, you could tell yourself. Because there's people way better than me, so I shouldn't be teaching it. It's like, well, so I should get better at it. It's like, well, how do you get better at it than probably teaching it and just figuring it out to make a course?
Absolutely, Johnny.
It's kind of...
Yeah.
I could have said that I don't know how to make software, which I kind of don't, but I did it, right? And I've learned so much. I mean, yeah. From what I know, yeah. Like now, from what I knew 2 years ago, it's blows my mind, right? I would probably sound like an expert to the Johnny from 2 years ago, but I'm not.
There's some people who say that the best way of learning something is by teaching it. You know, there's that expression. And you absolutely are good enough. If anyone's listening to this and they don't think they're good enough, they absolutely are because they are who they are. You know, I'm not the best WordPress guy, but people like WordPress stuff from me because I give my perspective on it, which they like for whatever reason. And the reason might be because they have the same background and they have the same knowledge as me. And they're just that bit stage of the journey behind me that my knowledge is helpful to them. So for that reason, everyone can do it. You know, anyone can do that product or whatever they want to do because it will be good because it's from them. It has that individual quality.
Exactly. Okay, Rob, let's move on to work. And this is going to be interesting because you're living the digital nomad lifestyle right now. You are from London, but you are in Thailand. And you're still working as you're there, right?
Yeah.
You're still producing stuff.
Yeah.
Excellent. So can you walk us through the first 30 minutes, the routine or the ritual you go through to set yourself up for a productive work day?
Yes, I installed a morning ritual before I came out here, actually, and I've stuck to it, and it's not very, it's not great in terms of productivity. You know, it's just not a great guru thing, but I'll tell you what I do. I wake up, I get woken up actually by roosters outside. It's the only bad thing about this condo. It's in the middle of nowhere, and I get woken up by, I wouldn't like to say it, but I get woken up.
As we all sit here in the snow listening to you right now, talk from Thailand, yes, we feel for you, Rob. Okay. We feel for you so
I'll,
much.
I'll move on and stop painting that picture. So when the point is I don't have an alarm clock. So I wake up and I do two or three different Tai Chi warm-up exercises, which I was doing in London before I came here. And that's swinging arms and sink and pray. And then lastly, swimming dragon, if that means anything to anyone who's listening to this. But that's just like, it's very, very minimal. 5 minutes. It's not going to, you know, I don't hardly even need to put the air conditioning on for it. But then I meditate, which I've been doing. I've been meditating on and off since 2003, which, as you remember, I said that I had a bad period for 10 years or so. The meditation kind of brought me out of it, and that actually brought me into creating my own website and doing things for myself in 2005. So I've been meditating for a long time. I let it slip a bit for a while, but I started again 3 years ago. And so I make sure I do it every day. And because I'm in Thailand, I can do it in the morning, which is great, because in London, it was too noisy. And here I've only got the cockerels to worry about. And now you can meditate with cockerels. You can't meditate with angry traffic outside your front door. So that's the morning routine. And then I might do a little bit, 10 minutes on my computer, but I actually then put my computer on my back and get on my moped and drive to this place that serves me coffee.
Nice. And that's where you work from? Like, is it a co-working space or just a coffee shop?
No, I go to different coffee shops every, nice. You know, whatever, whichever one I fancy. And I move around during the day. I don't stay in the same place.
Excellent. Okay. So let's move past your 30 minutes. That would probably take a little bit more than that, but let's move past that. And my very first episode I put out, I had Chris Brogan on. Chris Brogan does a lot of stuff. And he said something interesting to me about how the fact that he doesn't schedule himself past 40% in a day, because so many other things come up and that you can't fit it all in. And I just want to know, how are you scheduling your day throughout? And are you have complete freedom. You're in a beautiful land with amazing things to see. Do you work, say, a full work day, or do you kind of allow yourself, like, if I get 3 hours of work, or if I do that one thing today? How are you thinking about it, Rob? And how are you staying productive?
Yeah, I don't have a busy schedule. Like, I don't have things on my inner diary and stuff like that. Only the odd podcast interview and things like that. Nothing. I don't have anything like that. So yeah. So all I do is say to myself, I've got to write, say, 500 to 800 words a day if I'm writing a book, or record 10 minutes of video if I'm doing a video course. But I'm not too strict with myself. If I don't manage it for whatever reason, I don't stress about it. And I just, I'm not a great productivity guy. To be honest with you, Johnny, I could not tell you how many hours I work every day or week, or have done for the last 5 or 6 years. I've never added it up. I just kind of work when I want to. And because I like, you know how it is, I like my business. So there's no way I'll let things slip. So if I go out, I'm in Chiang Mai, and I had a really good weekend, and I did a lot of socializing, and I didn't do a lot of work, but I know I'll make it up somehow. I do tend to work a little bit every day. I don't distinguish between Saturdays and Sundays and the rest of the week. So I don't really, I certainly do have 40% free time in a day, because most of the day is pretty much free time. So I'm a little bit different from Chris Brogan.
That's good, though. I love that answer. Because that's the whole, I mean, that's what we're trying to get to. We can be different and find our way. As long as you're confident in your humble British way about it, which is, you know, you're doing the right thing for you and your business, which is absolutely key, I think, is just to know that and to trust yourself in it. And also, I'm sure your business, like my business, these things also fluctuate at times, right? Where sometimes you have something coming out in a couple of weeks and you have to work a lot. And then once it's out, it's like, okay, I can pull back now for the next month or two, right? It does work like that. It's not just a steady, hey, you have to show up at this time and be done at this time, show up at this time, be done at this time. It's like an ebb and flow, and you can push it if you want to, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think you learn over the years as well that how to treat these ebbs and flows, you know, so you don't burn yourself out during the busy times, and you don't sort of let things slide either when you've got a bit of time to yourself. So yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I mean, it's just, you know, there's no 2 days are the same, and so, which is nice. And as I was saying to you earlier, you know, I don't have any family here. I don't have to cook, and I don't have to do my washing for my laundry and stuff. So I've got a pretty easy ride. So, you know, the work gets done. It's no problem at all.
Okay, Rob, let's move to projects. You published your passive income results. You do a quarterly report on your website to show how it's going, and you did really well in the last quarter, right? You published it last month for everyone to see, and you did really, really well. And you seem to come out, you're writing a lot of books for Amazon and courses for Udemy. I'm not even sure I can keep up with how many, which is great. But how do you determine now when or what you need to do next, as in what the next project is, or if an idea comes to you, if that idea is proper for you and your business at this point?
Oh, that's a really good question, Johnny. You know, I mean, also, I've been talking to a lot of people recently, and that's another good thing about Chiang Mai, you know, is that everyone, you know, you talk to other business people. I always used to, you know, when I was in London as well, but, and everyone's talking about, you know, spreadsheets and keywords and low-hanging validating ideas. And I'm not really like that. I'm more about content and doing stuff that I enjoy as well. You know, it's not just about doing a course that's going to be popular, because I could think of a course that I could do tomorrow that would really do well on Udemy. I might get around to doing it at some point, but at the moment I'm writing a book that may well do really badly, because it's about personal development and it's not about the stuff that I usually do, which is, you know, more technical, WordPress, running a web design business, that sort of thing. You know, so I'm trying to do things and make sure I enjoy what I'm doing as well. I mean, obviously there's things that I do that are not as enjoyable, you know, like a little bit of promotional work for the book. That can be a bit of a drag sometimes, but you know, I really like to enjoy what I do. So making a product that I really love the subject matter, and it really inspires me, like, you know, writing things that would help people leave their jobs and lead a better life. That's really inspiring. So I don't choose the jobs I do on a purely sort of cold calculating way, which is I probably should do, because I'll probably make more money doing that, you know. But, you know, it's also about enjoying it and reading the audience as well, because I've been blogging for a long time. I get a lot of feedback about things. And so, this is, for example, the reports, the income reports, everyone loves them. I mean, that became apparent, you know, a few years ago. So you pick things up like that, and that helps you determine the products and the subjects you want to move into.
Excellent. So Udemy is, for those who don't know, and I'll link to it in the show notes for everyone, but it's a massive marketplace and website for training courses, right? That you can make.
Yeah.
And like literally anybody, I think, can make one and put it on there. You have to get approved, but I mean, it's not that hard. And I mean, I like the way you say you don't, the low-hanging fruit, the what people like, it's the keywords. It's not so much about that. Because what's, Rob, like, what's the worst thing that can happen? You write something or you make a new product for Udemy put a whole bunch of heart and soul into it,
yeah,
and release it tomorrow and nobody buys it. what is, like, does that, it does nothing to your business, right? It doesn't, it's not like, oh, like in 10 years, we're going to be like, oh, I don't know, I was going to buy this course from this guy, Rob Cubbin. But I mean, I remember 10 years ago, he launched a course and nobody bought it. Doesn't really work that way, does it?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, it's a great way of putting it. You know, the worst thing that can happen is that nobody buys your product. I mean, God, that's that, you know, if you were, I mean, we're not starving to death through lack of money. And even if we were, we wouldn't be making products. We'd be doing hours for dollars like we used to, you know. So, yeah, I mean, exactly. That's a very good point. Don't be afraid to fail. You know, if you go out, it's just like what we were talking about earlier. Just go for it and put the product out there and see how it gets on. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know there's a lot of people listening that are stuck in places or jobs that they don't necessarily want to be in. They might have a big idea for something. I would say make that idea now small as possible so that it's just a consumable, easy idea that you could teach other people and go to Udemy and, well, go to robcubbin.com first, because he'll teach you how to do this stuff very easily. And it's just, it's the cheapest, fastest, easiest way to get started trying something online and seeing if it sticks to the wall than I think at anything I've seen yet. And I recommend it fully. And Rob's the guy to teach you how to do that. So Rob, thank you so much for this. This has been a lot of fun. I really, really appreciate it. We've talked about your blog, robcubbin.com, and I will link to that, and I will link to Udemy and your ways of teaching people how to use it on the show notes. But thank you so much for taking the time.
Pleasure, Johnny.
And enjoy Thailand. Really enjoy Thailand. I'm sorry about those roosters that wake you up, you know, but it's snowing here.
Sometimes we have dogs as well. The dogs bark.
Right? We have dogs too, Rob.
All right. No, you're absolutely right. It is great here. I'm sorry about the weather you're having in Canada at the moment, Johnny. I'm sure it'll get better. And it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you again. I love talking to you, Johnny. And one day I'm going to shake you warmly by the hand and we're going to meet in real life.
Absolutely.
And that would be great.
Yes, I fully agree. But
thanks a lot for having me.
My pleasure, Rob. Thanks again, Rob. You are awesome. You know, I think that about you. And I thank you so much for joining me. We actually had to do another call prior when I hadn't sorted out what the heck it was Hack the Entrepreneur was going to be back in the summer. Rob came on, I did an interview, and it just didn't fit with the format we do now. So thank you for taking the time again, Rob, to come on. He said some amazing things, didn't he? He said some really interesting things, didn't he? But he said that one thing. Did you hear it? Did you get it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
You know how it is. I like my business. So there's no way I'll let things slip. So if I go out and I'm in Chiang Mai and I had a really good weekend and I did a lot of socializing and, you know, I didn't do a lot of work, but I know I'll make it up somehow, you know. So, you know, I do tend to work a little bit every day. I don't distinguish between Saturdays and Sundays.
And that's the hack. Rob, thank you so much. I appreciate the honesty. And just let me say that I do admire your Britishness, how you laugh and say, I went out socializing a little bit. Sounds like maybe you partied a little bit in Chiang Mai. Just guessing. But yeah, I do appreciate it. And I just wanted to clarify this because I like that he said this. And it's true. On Saturdays and on Sundays, especially, I send out my email to those of you that have joined my list. If you haven't, you really should go to Hack the Entrepreneur and do this. But I send out an email on Sunday. Typically, I'm out at a coffee shop or something. And I do promote the idea of hustle, of working hard, because it's necessary when you're getting into a business. But I don't mean that as in I work all the time every day. But like Rob, I do. I work some every day. Sometimes a fairly bit, but I also do not distinguish between Saturdays and Sundays, especially now. I mean, my wife
stays home, doesn't have a job that she has to go to. And my daughter also stays home this year and is unschooling / homeschooling. So there's no distinction for us between a Monday or a Saturday. It's just how we work. It's how we've set up our life. And I think that it's a good mentality to get into when you're running a business or when you're starting a business, is to be willing to at least put in something, some amount of effort towards building this business every single day. That doesn't mean working 12 hours or 16 hours a day. It could mean 20 minutes here. It could mean 3 hours there when you have time. But every day, work towards making a sale or building your email list or doing something that helps you in your business, whatever that happens to be. And I just love the way he said it, because it's true. I also like to go out and have lots of fun with my friends and do stuff. I play in two bands still. I do lots of things, but I also do work every day. And I think that's a great distinction. And I love it, Rob. Thank you very much. So there we are, guys. Again, that was my great friend, Rob Cubbin. Please check out his stuff. Go to the show notes, hacktheentrepreneur.com. You will see Rob there. It'll probably be hacktheentrepreneur.com/Rob Cubbin if you want to find it directly. Check it out. Check out what he's doing. He's doing some really, really amazing things, and he's easy to reach through his website. You can email him, ask him anything else that you have any questions with, or hit him on Twitter, and he will respond. He's a great guy doing some amazing things, and he's finally, like you people have asked, he's one of the ones that is getting started in this. He doesn't have a giant $100 million business at this point, so he's very, very, very much reachable and very much willing to lend a hand or an ear on anything. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much. You honestly don't know how much it means to me that you're out there listening and you take the time to join me on this. So I do appreciate it. If you have any questions for me, of course, hit me on email at any time or get on the email list and hit reply. But you can email me, John, J-O-N, at hacktheentrepreneur.com. And I'd love to talk to you. Until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.